What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. The grappling scene is on fire right now. I am seeing and hearing things that I thought were going to be happening in the 2030s, maybe even 2040s. I knew grappling one day was going to pop off. I didn't expect it to be this soon, but it looks like 2024 is the year that professional grappling becomes a thing. Now, the PGF was a huge success. Talking about the finals and just my final predictions, I made a bunch of predictions about the PGF. I think I went 6-10. I actually did pretty good. I will say my team predictions were terrible. I thought Jean-Jacques' team was going to finish third or fourth. They ended up finishing first. Each one of those guys walked away with $20,000. The finale tournament was won by Andy Varela. So Andy Varela is your champion for season 6. He walked away with $20,000. And he faced Jet Thompson in the final. Jet Thompson, the kid that I vouched for that nobody had heard of. Brandon had never heard of him and just trusted my, really, I just begged him a couple times. Like, look, please just let this kid in. Let the kid in. And he absolutely killed it. He beat Daniel Sadler as well as Elijah Carlton in that finale bracket. And only lost to Andy Varela in overtime. Went all the way to overtime, and Andy finished him in the first overtime, but man, Jet came super close to snatching away the victory. Andy barely survived those last couple of seconds to become the champion. But I was super happy for Andy. You guys know I'm a huge fan of his. And yeah, I'm bringing all this up not only to recap PGF, but because why does it seem like everything just happens at the same time, right? All these competitions are popping up right now. You're hearing all this big money coming into jiu-jitsu, and it seems like it's coming out of nowhere. And it's all happening right at the same time. You've got the PGF. You've got the guys over there in Kazakhstan that are looking to give away $1 million coming up in the AIGA promotions. You've got ADCC trying to do big things. Flow Grappling is always expanding. But the one I really want to talk about, to me, the most shocking news of them all, and by far the biggest news, if this happens, is Craig Jones putting on a tournament that will rival ADCC. Now, Craig, he's got some Donald Trump in him, I think, right? Like, Craig will come out, says what's ever on his mind, right? He's constantly going at people, just constantly just digging. And when he was coming out about ADCC, I understood where he was coming from as an athlete in this sport. You want to get paid to show up, right? You want to get paid to compete. Whether you win, lose, or draw, you want, when you show up, to know that you are walking away making money. Most of these guys, you just have no clue. Most of the time, you're almost assuming you're going to lose money or at least, at best, break even. And so when Craig was coming to ADCC and Flow, it was just, it seemed like an athlete that was going at him, and he was trying to make changes, and he was wanting the athletes to get paid more and just treated better. But he's come out this week and said that no, he is in fact starting his own promotion. And a couple weeks ago, it was just, hey, I'm going to do a seminar the day before ADCC. All the proceeds are going to go to the ADCC athletes. So the way ADCC works is only the top three athletes, the first, second, and third place athletes, are paid. And first place only makes $10,000. So I think, I'm not sure what second place is, but I'm pretty sure third place is $1,500. So we'll just assume it's like $10,000, $5,000, and $1,500. Which in this economy in 2024 is not a lot of money. I've seen so many things. You guys know I've done a few different episodes talking about inflation on meat and just grocery items in general. And I was reading an article the other day about how pre-pandemic compared to today, a family of four's yearly grocery bill has went up over $11,000. Just insane. But anyways, yeah, these guys aren't making that much. $10,000 first place, and you get paid nothing. So most guys and girls competing at ADCC are making zilch. nothing. They are getting, you know, their plane ticket paid for as well as their accommodations. And I believe they get food voucher. But, yeah, I mean, these guys aren't walking away going, man, I just competed in the world championships and I made some money. Like, you know, at least I made rent money this month. Like, that's not what's happening. And so, yeah, Craig was like, look, I'm going to raise money and I'm going to pay each athlete that doesn't medal is going to receive something for competing at ADCC. Well, it looks like he's taken that not just a step farther, but about 100,000 steps farther, because Craig is talking about being the first person to pay $1 million to the champion of the bracket. And this is kind of that mythical number, right? Obviously, $1,000 has been hit. $10,000 has been hit. PGF just did $20,000. The most I have ever heard for a tournament was $100,000, and I believe that's been done a couple times. It hasn't been done recently. The most recent big prize purses I can remember are like $35,000-$40,000. I know that WNO, they did a night of champions, or a weekend of champions, I should say, where they had multiple, I think 5-8 person brackets, and the winner of those received $35,000, if I remember correctly. And then second place, I think, won 10, and third place won 5, but it was substantial because each division was $50,000, and I believe it was $250,000 they gave out total. So substantial. Great weekend for grappling, and those matches were absolute fire. AIGA's been talking about doing a $1 million team event, but it's much like the PGF where the athletes would split the $1 million. And the way AIGA set up, I'm really interested because it seems like the teams pay the athletes and then the money, it's kind of like NASCAR where I'm not sure if like the rights to the money, does it go to the athletes or does it go to the owner of the team? I'm not quite sure, but anyways, they're talking about doing a $1 million championship, but that will be given out to a bunch or split between a bunch of different people. But Craig's talking about giving $1 million to the bracket winner. He's also said that he wants to give away $10,000 just to show up. So kind of a final slap at ADCC, like, hey, if you just show up to my tournament, you'll make the exact same. Even if you lose in 10 seconds, you will make the exact same as you would if you won 4 matches in your bracket at ADCC. So a very tempting offer. And he has released a preliminary list. So it looks like he's looking to do 2 16 people brackets or men brackets. There will not be a females bracket from what it looks like. And the I'm assuming it'll probably be like under 200, over 200. But yeah, he's talking about giving away $1 million to the winner. And he's posted a couple of screenshots of him like having the money. He's posted an account that has $3 million in it. So he's like, look, guys, this is all already paid for. And that's the way you should do it, right? A lot of these promotions, I'm sure some of you are aware, but a lot of these promotions, for those of you that aren't, they don't have the money. It's like they're almost like raising money in between shows. And so they'll promise athletes money to come on the show, right? And if they win, they'll give them a bonus and all that. And then they'll pay them after the fact. But usually they're paying them a couple weeks. And a lot of times, I know so many stories of athletes not ever being paid, but then a lot of times they don't get paid until months. I've even heard recently of a promotion not paying the athlete for up to almost 2 years. It took them almost 2 years to pay them. I believe it was almost $10,000. And anyways, you want to work for a promotion or go compete for a promotion that's already got that money there, right? You're getting paid no less than a few days after the event. I know the PGF has already paid all the athletes. That's going to make some for very happy people. And I think a lot more people, once you see and you hear your friends talking like, yeah, I made 20K. And a couple of those guys, they didn't even have the best seasons that were on the winning team. Like they did pretty good. They got the kills when they needed, but they got dominated in some of their matches. And they still walked away with 20 G's. And so I think there's got to be a lot of people that are like, man, if I just get on the right team next season, I'm walking away with tens of thousands of dollars. But yeah, Craig's already got the money. He's already posted it. It looks like he's going. I'm just interested to know when he's planning on putting this on, because I've seen people are like, man, Craig, it would be the worst thing he could do for the sport would be to host it the same weekend or like the weekend before or weekend after. Like, he should give ADCC the respect that they deserve, and it should be either a couple of months before or a couple months after. And I've seen people like, no, it should just be in December. Just give ADCC the prime slot, right? And where they're already scheduled for late August, I believe, in Vegas. It's going to be a huge show. Do not try to compete with it. And I don't know if I feel the same way, right? I think that this is really interesting, and I think that competition is healthy. And I think if Craig really wants to make a point, he'll try to compete with ADCC. Now, is this just a pride thing? Is this just him trying to do like an ultimate FU to Mo? I don't know why he would feel that way. I always thought that like Mo and ADCC had a good relationship with B-Team and Craig Jones, but I'm assuming that that is not. Now, I will say Mo, got to give him a lot of props here because he is still inviting B-Team guys. I just saw today that J-Rod, Jacob Rodriguez, received his very, very earned invite to ADCC. Ethan Curlinston was invited. Nikki Ryan was invited. Obviously, Nikki Rod's already invited back. But the fact that he still invited Jacob Rodriguez or J-Rod was really, to me, showed a lot of character for Mo, and that like he's not going to let his feud with Craig or his feelings towards Craig impact anybody on his team. And there's not a lot of people, especially promoter-wise, that would do that. You know, you imagine if Dana White, if somebody was going at Dana White like this, he wouldn't invite some of their closest friends and training partners into the UFC. Like, he would blackball them. 100% I believe that. Unless it was Conor. Unless it can make him tons and tons of money. But yeah, like, you're just like, hey, I'm a guy. I'm like, you know, one of the top 40 grapplers in the world at that weight class. Like, they wouldn't be invited if Dana White was the lead. So props to Mo for doing that, because again, I think J-Rod definitely deserves it. But yeah, I would be really interested to see, just on the outside, just sitting back watching, to see if Craig invited the top 32 grapplers in the world and promised them, yeah, hey, $1 million to the winner. Second place, $50,000. Third place, $25,000. And then everybody else receives $10,000. You got 32 guys going and competing. Two people walking away with $1 million. Would ADCC be stripped bare of talent? And would you as an athlete, so let's say Mo came out and was like, hey, if you compete at Craig Jones's event, you are banned from ADCC for life. How many athletes, and let's just say Craig did this one time, how many athletes would risk that for the chance at $1 million? Truly life-changing opportunity. And look, you're guaranteed to make $10,000 just by showing up, which would be the same prize if you won ADCC. I would just love to see which athletes chose which promotion. You'd have to assume all of Craig's guys, all the B-team guys would choose. But like I saw, you know, had Gordon Ryan on the list. Would Gordon compete at Craig's event for a chance to win $1 million? You imagine that? I can't see Gordon. I mean, he always talks about how he's like, I'm super loyal to my friends. And him and Mo are like always together. They're going on vacations together. They spend a lot of time together. When I was at the ADCC trials, they hung out a bunch during that, even though, you know, Mo was obviously super busy. But, you know, when you would see them together. And so, yeah, they're super, super close. So I can't imagine that. But you imagine, though, if Gordon went and won $1 million from Craig. Talk about a storyline. But with all these promotions, like I said, it just all pops up at the same time. And it's like innovation. It's kind of like how, you know, you see inventors. There's usually a lot of people or like a handful of people in the world that are all getting super close and striving towards the same discovery. And it's always amazing to kind of see how that plays out over history. And it kind of seems like that right there with jiu-jitsu promotions. And We've got EBI Absolutes coming up. Like I said, we've got AIGA. PGF Season 7's coming up. I know people are super excited for that. It's an ADCC year. Now you got Craig Jones talking about doing a $1 million tournament. I know Zapatero, one of the old promotions, one of the longtime OG Nogi promotions, is talking about also doing a $100,000 bracket where the winner gets $100,000. So, like I said, guys, look, time to quit your jobs, leave your families, find a dojo, and start training, because your dream of becoming a paid grappler, it's looking like a possibility in 2024. Next thing I want to talk about, really the only other thing I want to talk about, and this is a really interesting discussion, and I can't remember the last time I talked about this. Maybe it's been recently, but I want to talk about it again. I had a listener and just a guy that I know. I've trained with him a handful of times over the years. He sent me a message. He trains at a gym. He's a purple belt, and he trains at a gym out west, and he got his leg broken really badly training. And I'm not going to get into the specifics, but, you know, he sent me the x-ray and just kind of the diagnosis, and not good. I mean, he received or got a lot of damage done to his leg, and he was rolling with his instructor, and his instructor broke his leg, and he feels like it was kind of on purpose, or that the instructor was like out of control. And yeah, you can just imagine, right? I mean, a really bad break. And he was just kind of asking my opinion and thoughts on this. And this is what I would say to any of you guys, right? And this is the really tricky thing with just gyms and really just people in general. Whenever you start to disturb the ecosystem. So whether you're just moving to a new town, whether you're switching gyms, whether you're starting to just get better, you're training more and you're starting to get better, any one of these three things can start causing a little bit of tension between you and the other animals in the ecosystem. It's so funny. We actually just had a guy join. I think he's a brown belt, but he's been grappling for a decade plus. And it's so funny, man. People come in, and the first thing these guys do, they start whispering. Everybody's kind of analyzing. They trying to guess a skill rank. They'll see somebody talk to them. You'll kind of see them go up to them, like, hey, like, did you talk to that guy? Like, what belt rank are they? How long have they been training? And everybody rolls with them. And eventually, after like a month or two, the guy kind of settles in and finds his spot in the gym. You move, that's what you're going to have to do, right? You're a blue belt. You're going to have to go to a new gym. You're going to have to obviously meet and train with a bunch of new people. And you're going to have to find out. You got to figure out where you fit in that gym. Are you one of the better guys? Are you one of the rest rounds? Are you, you know, you got to figure out where you are in that ecosystem. But one of the hardest things, right? So that's one thing. And things are usually pretty competitive. Like, again, like you go up to a new gym, usually people are going to train with you pretty hard for those first couple months. And then you'll start to build relationships and people will start to see you more and more like a training partner. But what's really, really hard is when you have an established ecosystem and somebody starts taking your place or starts to surpass you or starts to become a bigger predator than you. And I think this is probably what was happening with this guy, you know, between him and his instructor. He just kind of was describing some things, like he was, you know, starting to do some private lessons. People were starting to come to him for instruction and just teaching and just asking him questions about that. And I'm assuming his instructor didn't like it. And so they were in a roll and his instructor just kind of, you know, lost control. They got in a leg lock shootout and his instructor just ripped on something and broke his leg. And it's really tough, right? Like guys always say like jiu-jitsu or, you know, martial arts, it's one of the best ways to like deal, like, you know, you'll get rid of your ego and leave your ego at the door and all that. But here's the thing, your training partners, seriously, will be the happiest for you, right? When they see you go win a tournament, they see you start to improve, they're happy for you, as long as, for a lot of these people, as long as you're not getting better than them. So if you're a purple belt out there, right, just imagine you got a purple belt out there that's consistently beating this guy that's 2 years in the game, he just got his blue belt, right? Consistently. Every single time they train, this guy beats him. And this goes on for a couple of years, but then the blue belt starts taking private lessons or just whatever happens. He wins the lottery. He's able to train 2 to 3 times a day now. His main focus is training. The purple belt's got more and more life stuff. He just had another kid. He's not getting to train as much. Well, now this blue belt is starting to get better. He gets his purple belt, so now they're the same rank. And now this purple belt is starting to not just have good rounds with this guy that used to beat him up. He's actually starting to beat him. And I'm telling you, this is one of the biggest causes of drama at a gym, or really just bad feelings between people. And I've seen it, and I've listened to guys talk about it. When I've talked to the guys that have like a lot of life stuff going on, that aren't getting to train as much as they used to, this is like the thing they always, I was like, man, it's so hard seeing this guy get better than me. Like, I remember when I used to crush this guy, but now, I mean, I'm only able to train once a week, twice a week, maybe. And now, so-and-so's wife's like starting to be, like, I can't do anything with him. They've gotten better than me. And I always try to remind him, like, look, you're in the middle of, you know, going through different things in life. You know, you're just had your second kid, or you're changing jobs, or you just got married and you're trying to make that work. You're trying to be a good husband, you know, whatever the life circumstance is. Like, hey, you've got this going on, and this other person, most of the time it is usually somebody a little bit younger than them. They have less responsibilities, and so they're able to train more. And I'm like, look, it's just natural, right? But you can still kind of hear the bad feelings towards the other person. Just more kind of, I don't want to say jealousy, just there's irritation, right? And they're just like, man, I just wish things could be like they always were. I preferred the jungle when I was one of the apex predators, when I was at least a predator to my training partner, right? When I could dictate and beat him up, right? And so you just got to really be careful, right? Like, again, so many people will seem like they're really cool training partners, and they'll seem like they're like rooting for you and wanting you to get better. But I'm telling you, the moment you start beating them, you start catching them more and more, you start surpassing them, and especially your instructor, right? This is another one of the like things you see a lot over the years in martial arts studios, is once the student starts to surpass the master, there is this weird power struggle. And a lot of times the two can't coexist, and there's been really nasty breakoffs. Some of even the biggest martial art associations have started due to a big split off, you know? Instructors prize students, starts to get the better of them, or starts to surpass them in knowledge, or maybe the other students start to see them as the instructor now. Big standoff between the two, and yeah, half the school leaves, and this happens all the time. I heard this just actually happened in Huntsville with the school, and the school popped up. I'd never heard of them, and I was like, yeah, who are these people? And one of my students, who's a purple belt, was telling me, they're like, yeah, they came from them. Like, this basically half this school left with the brown belt. So they left the black belt instructor to go with the brown belt. And that's how this gym started. And I was like, oh, so this is happening all the time. But yeah, you start stepping on people's turf, you know, like, hey, you start to steal private lessons away from, you know, some of the upper belts. You start to stake away private lessons from your instructor. You start to get the better of them. You start to, you know, get better results in competition. You start doing all that stuff, you'll see some really ugly sides of people come out. And I'm not immune to this. I remember, especially at purple and brown belt, like, there were times, you know, I would, you know, some guys like in 10th Planet that I felt like were my competition for maybe Warrior of the Year, or getting, you know, being the first 10th Planet guy to medal at ADCC and all that. Like, I remember rooting against them. And again, not publicly, but in my mind, I'd be like, man, I hope this guy loses. And I'm just saying, which many, many one of you have thought or been at in your point in your life where you have rooted against somebody that was a teammate. And I'm putting up air quotes right now, because it's like teammate, but like, nah, you don't want that guy to do better than you. You don't mind if that guy does good, but you just want to make sure that you're succeeding more than them. So yeah, just be careful with that, and especially in roles like, really, you should have a good idea of like, just you and somebody at the gym have tension with each other. Is there's like some underlying issues you have with somebody, or super common. I've had it a few times over the years where it's just people I didn't vibe with, people that I kind of had a little bit of issues with. It's best not to train with them, and especially if you feel like somebody's got a vendetta against you, or you're starting to feel like, man, like I feel this, like this person's like rolling super hard and almost to the point where it's like aggressive and even feels like it could become dangerous. You need to be very cautious in that situation. And jiu-jitsu is a very real martial art in that if your training partner has bad intentions, there's a good chance you walk away with hopefully a minor injury, but it could be like, you know, this guy that I know, it could be a really, really bad one. Until next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. Thank you for all the support you have shown me. Peace.